Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Did you know you can follow The Ticket on Facebook? We're right there at 790 The Ticket. Like us. Learn stuff. 790 The Ticket on Facebook.
Traffic on The Ticket is sponsored by Alligator Alley Harley Davidson. Purchase a new 2019 HD motorcycle at Alligator Alley Harley Davidson and get a power-up package now through October 15th. See dealer for details.
Good morning in Miami. Southbound on the turnpike after I-75, the left lane is blocked by a collision. And northbound on the turnpike, there's heavy traffic delays from Biscayne Drive till Southwest 8th Street. And northbound Palmetto after Northwest 122nd Street, the right lane is blocked by construction. Brought to you by Wendy's, their one and only spicy nuggets are back on the menu. Turn up the heat with your fave nuggets or try the bacon jalapeno chicken sandwich, original spicy chicken sandwich, or spicy jalapeno bacon fries. Spicy nuggets are here for a limited time at participating restaurants. Wendy's. They've got you. That's traffic where Hawk and Crowder take you home weekday afternoons beginning at 2 on AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD 2, The Ticket, a Radio.com sports station. Download the Radio.com app now and listen to your favorite shows.
Welcome back, everybody. It is a Football Friday brought to you by Yuengling, a beer as bold as those who drink it. Tap into your inner eagle. Yuengling, spread your wings. Please drink responsibly.
Great Football Friday because there's a game tonight.
Yes, sir.
Not Football Friday getting ready for the weekend.
Although I did see DJ Dallas put out his own hype video.
He was the last Kids Culture guy.
I know. I would say if there's anybody deserving of putting out his own hype video, it is DJ Dallas.
No, not two and three.
No,
nobody.
No, it's a jinx.
Two and three.
No.
Two and three.
It's got graphics and everything.
No.
He's got his own personal watch?
I guess so.
Wow.
I guess so. Maybe it was a class project or something. I don't know.
Did Kosi do anything we should be aware of?
Not that I know of. I'll go check his Instagram. Want to let you guys know you can hear every Miami Hurricanes game on our sister station, 560 The Joe. They're the one that works. Hurricanes Football on The Joe is sponsored by Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota, and Lexus of Kendall and Lexus of West Kendall. Also brought to you by Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. Last night, Rob Gronkowski made his debut as an analyst on Thursday Night Football. Did you guys hear what he had to say about Julian Edelman?
No, I purposely didn't watch.
Okay, well, here is his breakdown. You ready for this, Leroy?
I'm ready.
This is Rob Gronkowski, new broadcaster. This is what he has to say about his former teammate.
Let me tell you something about Julian. First off, he calls himself the squirrel. You want to know why he calls himself the squirrel? Because he is a squirrel. He's furry. He's cute. He's elusive. He's feisty. And most importantly, whenever he gets a chance, he gets that nut. Just like he gets a first down. Just like he gets the touchdown. Just like he'll give you a catch when you need it.
Oh man,
it's borderline.
Do you think it was right at that moment that some Fox executive had immediate regrets?
Reap what you sow, Fox.
Hold on. People get paid for that?
Oh, a lot of money. A lot of money.
Hey, let's put the circus clown on! Yay!
What were the looks around?
I didn't see. I only saw the close-up on him.
Could I can't open it. Excuse me? Excuse me. You were definitely perfect.
Stop to my living room. I was like, excuse me.
Can you imagine the Robbie of that broadcast?
Oh, just super nervous.
Just sweating. What do I do?
I know it makes you nervous, Robbie, but let me hear it one more time.
Let me tell you something about Julian.
What is he,
first
WWE?
Off, he calls himself the squirrel. You want to know why he calls himself the squirrel? Because he is a squirrel. He's furry. He's cute. He's elusive. He's feisty. And most importantly, whenever he gets a chance, he gets that nut. Just like he gets a first down. Just like he gets the touchdown. Just like he'll give you a catch when you need it.
Jesus.
As you say, here's the conversation after that.
Yeah.
Gronk, come on over. Can I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah, bro.
Gronk was
love your enthusiasm.
Yeah, I liked it.
Love your enthusiasm.
A ton of Gronk stories have been coming into me because he was working out at the JCC over where our Hebrews work out over the last week.
Oh, no, you tell your JCC story. I'll just stop what I was doing.
I thought you were done.
We were doing a bit. Thank you, though.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, too late.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nobody heard it anyway.
Bleep. Yeah, we're off again.
Let's get to headlines.
YAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
I think that was WXAXYAM South Miami.
Not that anybody heard it.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Who needs a legal ID when
we were supposed to do a EAS thing before that?
EAS?
Yeah, we don't have
If anybody's relying on us for emergencies, that's a bad move by you. Trust me, if the zombies are attacking, we're going to be the last people you want as your reliable broadcast.
Oh, my God. Last night, Thursday Night Football, Patriots beat the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to...
No, please go ahead and complain. It's very self-aware of you.
No. I have other things to
on a Patriots
care
cover.
About. Yeah. 790 AM, someone says 790 AM signals the Dolphins of radio.
Agreed.
We're tanking for better signal.
Agreed.
We can't tank anymore.
Unfortunately, to tell you guys down the road, there's no Tua of antennas. That's not going to work cuz you know.
We can't draft a better transmitter?
Nope.
I could say something, but
can we do a GoFundMe?
It would just probably, I mean, whatever. I honestly, we, you know, what are we, on month three of doing this show?
Yep.
Can't even believe, this is still a thing.
Oh, it's still a thing.
I can't believe it.
Yep.
This was the thing when we weren't even the morning show, that it wasn't working. So it's really been 5 months, almost, of just this nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I know how you feel, Mr. Computer.
I was sat down on a couch when our chief corporate engineer and our local engineer sat me and Glenn down and said, here's our plan. This is how we're going to get it fixed.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot of meetings on.
A lot of meetings.
Strategery.
A lot of firm emails from people telling us how much dough has been spent here.
Yep.
Not on a better signal, though.
Hey, go work in another building if you don't like it. Okay. Does that building have a transmitter? We don't. Miami Hurricanes in action tonight, hosting Virginia. Canes a 2-point favorite at the Rock tonight, set for kickoff set for 8 p.m. You can hear that pregame on 560 of the Joe with the working signal.
Yep.
What do we think about the?
I really hope our Panthers game can get broadcast tonight.
Panthers tonight. That's right. Start a 3-game road trip against the Sabres.
Robbie, see how you threw that there to get you to give good headlines.
Yeah, Sabres, Panthers tonight. Puck drops at 7 from the KeyBank Center?
The KeyBank, I think.
Oh.
Listen, we bad spec tonight. I stop pucks. Defense has let me down early on in Panthers' career, but don't worry. Bobrovsky bounce back. This is how it will go. It will be better than Luongo.
When you were watching Bob up close and personal with Lil Ice, and the defense was letting him down. Was he frustrated? Did he seem...
He's wearing a mask, bro. How am I supposed to know?
I don't know. You can tell by the body language.
No, you can't, because his body's covered in pads. Mm. I don't know. I'll ask him next week. Talking to him.
Okay. You guys going to become buddies?
I hope so. But the Panthers defense is active. Like, everybody's come out and said, we screwed the guy. Like, I don't know what to tell you. It's not... I mean, it's obviously not a great look, because he's given up that many goals. But, everybody on the Panthers defense is being like, yeah, we've been awful. And they have been. So, and been a lot of whack. Like, you know, you listen to the Lightning guys after the game where they score all the goals. And they're like, it's all garbage, you know, ricochet stuff. Like, we're not scoring directly on him. So, he's going to get the brunt of the criticism. You know, that's what comes. You're the big money guy. You're supposed to be the thing that changes the Panthers. And they're having the exact same problems they were last year.
I think we should have a web series where you take Bob to Sunny Isles and have Borscht. What?
Nothing.
You're just not happy today.
Should I be?
No, you shouldn't. If I were you, I'd be storming around, throwing things.
What else you got, man?
We have the Astros are moving on to the ALCS. They beat the Rays 6-1 in Game 5, so it would be Astros and Yankees Go Stros. The Mystics won the WA championship. They beat the Connecticut Sun 89-78.
They won the WA championship?
The WNBA. Did I screw that up?
I mean, yeah, you made it the Women's Association.
Sorry. And unbelievably, Errol Spence Jr., we brought you the story as it was breaking yesterday that he was a fiery car crash in Dallas. He's reportedly awake and responsive. I think he's still in the ICU. No broken bones, but he does have some other pretty serious injuries. But we saw the video of that accident, and to say that he's even alive is a miracle. Because that car flipped a billion times. It caught on fire.
He wasn't in it.
No, I know that. But do you know what I'm saying? Like,
it looked like movie stuff. It was crazy.
It did. Right. It did. Like, I don't want to like assume how fast he was going, but it wasn't slow.
I think they said he was doing like 100 miles an hour.
Really?
And the crazy thing is, right? That car and how it looked to end up how it ended up, pretty well-built car.
I guess so.
I mean, that car should be all over the road.
Do you think it was, like, him getting ejected, do you think it ended up being better for him, or would it have been better if he was wearing a seatbelt?
I don't know, because if you look at the cockpit of the car, it looks pretty...
Can we tell from that video where he... Because I think you hear someone say that's his feet, and it was on the grass. I'm just wondering if there was actually a benefit of him being ejected, because, well, obviously the car caught on fire, and... That would have been bad.
It's just bananas to me. And the thing that's, I mean, this guy's a couple weeks removed from unifying the welterweight title. This guy's one of the best boxers on the planet. He's very much in the prime of his career. And I think a lot of people think of him as one of the potential stars of boxing. Like, if anybody could replace the Floyd Mayweather or even be close to being that kind of famous, it's him. And... it seems like you were a blink away from it all just being erased.
And you still don't know.
Like, you still don't know. We don't know what his injuries are.
Yeah, right. We have no idea.
And what if it's a couple of years before he fights again? He's going to lose the belts. And, you
changes
know, just
everything. Look at what happened with Keith. Everybody thought this of Keith Thurman, and Keith Thurman had 2 years off, and now, you know.
You thought he was just going to come back?
Yeah, he's losing a 40-year-old Manny Pacquiao.
Which, still, is crazy.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
And Manny Pacquiao beat him. It wasn't like... You know, it wasn't the flu. It beat him up.
Yeah, beat him up. So, yeah, it's pretty wild. Armando Salguero is reporting that Josh Rosen is going to play for the Dolphins next year. That they, because of his rookie deal, that this idea that he's only got 12 games left, that he is going to be part of the Dolphins' plans next season.
Well, he'll be on the team.
He'll be on the team, but he's probably going to start. Like, if they draft a young quarterback, the idea is that he's going to.
So they're going to have Josh Rosen mentor Tua?
No.
No, it's not.
How much does a mentor mean? Let's be honest. Who cares who's mentoring Tua? You got Dan Marino in the building. How about he mentor Tua? Hmm.
Valid point.
That is a valid point.
I would say this. It's tough in sports because people put that on players. And the player's like, no, it's my livelihood.
I've heard one.
It's my job.
Yeah, I've heard one person who likes being a mentor. His name's Udonis Haslam. Everybody else hates being a mentor.
Don't. Just hold it in.
What I just did was compliment. Nope. I don't know what you're doing.
Just hold it in.
It has to be said.
Nope.
Nope.
Nope. Actually, it doesn't.
Nope.
Yes, it does.
Nope.
It doesn't.
It does.
Nope.
I will say this.
Oh, no.
It's easy to be a mentor.
Minus one.
I didn't even finish.
Oh, we knew.
When you're not playing.
Minus one.
I'm just saying. Like.
How dare you?
Remember, wait. Remember, what did Aaron Rodgers say? What did Brett Favre say? Right? Guys that were in their prime, they felt they were in their prime, saying a mentor. You heard anybody leave New England saying, oh, Tom Brady really mentored me?
No, he's the opposite. He hates other quarterbacks.
He ran him out of town.
Right. Like, all of what? Them. Like, but I will say this, though. Sports where the young guy doesn't impact what you do, so, for example, if you bring in a star quarterback, right, at some point they're going to look at your $20 million contract and say, we got this young guy, let's move on from this guy. But in basketball, it just becomes another piece. So if you have LeBron and you have the first pick in the draft and you bring another star in, LeBron doesn't look at that as being threatening, or the star player doesn't look at that as being threatening. Mm-hmm. But in football—
I think the one thing that's going to be tough with Josh Rosen, I don't know that he's got like this vindictive stuff in him. You know, you've heard that he's got doesn't have the best attitude in the world, but we don't really know. But I would say that if you are going to bring a young guy in to play under him, I could see Josh Rosen being like, yeah, oh, you think you have it tough? You think you have it tough? How about I got bounced from the team that drafted me after a year and then got to play for the tanking Dolphins.
Right.
So I could imagine him giving like zero to no bleeps about anything the young guy has to go through.
And to be honest with you, if you think about it, it's very easy to have a bad attitude about your situation when sure. you've gone through these last 2 years.
Yeah.
You know, so, but the thing about the situation that he's in, like no matter what, it's still an opportunity.
No doubt.
Right? It's an, like, and it's only until that other quarterback gets here, right? And you still don't know what's going to happen. Until that happens, you're the guy.
Sure.
And when you're the guy, it's your responsibility to make the best of the situation. And it's not on anybody else.
And to your point, you know, you said this, like, what if Tua doesn't come out? If that does nuke your whole plans, he's probably going to be your quarterback next year, Josh Rosen.
But that's why you don't – look, if they're going to draft a quarterback, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who the best quarterback's going to be. You have an idea. But the whole thing that bothers me about this is to determine before the start of a guy's junior year who you're going to take a year from now is crazy. That's the only problem I have with this. It could very well end up being Tua. Do your due diligence when it ends up getting there, when that time comes, if he is the best ranked quarterback or rated quarterback, you have him number one on your board, then so be it. But don't put him number one on your board. Like, that seems like what a franchise who's not run well would do. And if you're trying to change the culture, then you change the mindset. You say, look, you know, if we're going to have the first pick in the draft, we're going to do our due diligence. We're going to evaluate all these guys. And then we're going to take the guy who we deem to be, you know, the best. It's okay to say that, even if it ends up being the guy you always wanted. But you don't go out and make and say something or have people thinking as a franchise, you don't have them think things of you that almost looks like you haven't changed at all.
Well, there is one move that I saw in practice this week for the Dolphins that leads me to believe they're doing what they can to make sure this thing doesn't get messed up. We'll tell you about that next.
Hey, I feel like I'm supposed to...
You beat everyone this time, Leroy.
I know. I feel like I'm supposed to sit back and let's listen to the sultry tones.
Oh, it is homage to us being back on the radio. You know?
Really? That's where you went with that? Does anybody even know who this is? You know how old this is?
It's in the 80s.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, people probably don't know who this is. By the way, this is going to be a preview for next Friday, because I believe next Friday it's going to be you and me. Next Friday.
What's next Friday?
Well, next Friday, I believe Tobin and Beast are out. This is a preview of what we're going to get all in right, next week.
I guess.
So.
Glad you could join us.
Sorry, man.
And wait, here's the worst part.
What's that?
I'm not one to... Yeah, I can't really say anything.
All I was doing was marking all of the... you know how they like me sending all the texts to people telling us we're off the air? I'm just making sure that gets done.
Right.
So, sorry.
So, football tonight.
I know. I'm excited.
Are you?
Yeah, because no matter what, I always just like, I'm a Canes fan, and I'm going to tune in. I really want them to just, in all honesty, I feel bad for Manny Diaz at this point. I know
here.
You don't. But I want him to have his swaggering Mac Brown dance, big game, like he could just feel good about.
But here's the problem. The reason why I don't feel bad is because it's their own doing.
I understand.
And so I'm never going to – look, man, everybody loves the bravado and the cockiness and the in-your-face. We all love that, right? Here's the problem, though. Don't you have to at some point be able to back it up even a little bit? right? Like, if you could come after, if the Canes had the same record, but you go, hey, man, you know what? They make a lot of mistakes, but they're going to score a bunch of points, mm-hmm. and they're going to bring the wood on defense, right? You would feel better. But that's not what's happening.
Everything's been unreliable.
They're not playing good football.
No, they're not.
And they're putting out hype videos.
Well, that's got to – I don't understand that. That's just – you know what I mean?
Look, follow the track of the offseason, mm-hmm. and then get to this point right here. And tell me, why wouldn't they have a hype video? They think – like, no, man. What happened when Manny took over? He can be cocky. He can do all that. But you need to set the tone for how things are going to be done, okay? They don't play disciplined football. Now, I don't care about X's and O's. You know, I tell you all the time, if you're going to lose because the guy across from you beat you.
Right.
Not because you held, not because – just if you lose because the guy across from you beat you or the team across from you beat you, but don't lose to 4th-and-17.
Yeah, but even with all that being said, like even with the discipline and Manny Diaz doing this, like it's still – like you still want – the guy you hope has some kind of future coaching the Miami Hurricanes, and so you need that win where it's just like, all right, finally things are on track. Because you don't feel that way after beating – Bethune-Cookman 63-0. You don't feel that way after beating Central Michigan 17-3. Like, no. He needs a win that his program and him and the team just can feel good about.
Let's be clear. I like him. I want him to do well. Okay? But one of the things that I like looking at, okay, is say what you want about Brian Flores, right? There's a couple things he will never admit, even though we all know, right? Dude, you're tanking. And you're being a good soldier about it. And I hate the fact that you're in this situation. But you're not throwing anybody under the bus. You're not throwing any players under the bus. You're taking it under the chin, and you're moving forward. And that's what he's done. And we make fun of him. But guess what? There's something to be said about that. Whereas if you go to the Hurricanes, like, you don't ever want to be in any type of – on any type of team – and get the feeling that the guy next to you is just trying to save his own ass. You see what I mean? And so sometimes with the explanations, sometimes with, how they go about explaining things, it just seems like, I've never heard a coach come out and say, hey, we have 5 sacks, but 4 of those were on the quarterback. Right? Like, you could very easily just say, look, we need to get better at that. Right? Nobody really cares. Like, whose fault? You just know the quarterback got sacked.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you say, you know what? As a unit, whether it's getting rid of the ball or whether it's protecting a little bit longer, we got to tie that in together. Not just say, you know what? In fairness to the O-line, 4 of those were the quarterback's fault. Like, nobody does that.
And that was the one thing, because it felt like that was the lone positive thing to come out of that game.
Right.
And it's just like, you're going to hose it down.
Right. There hasn't been that many positive things. But in that game, the positive thing up until last week was the fact that, guess what?
Honestly, the thing that I like most about Dan Enos, the only thing really, is angering Nick Saban and leaving him in secrecy. Other than that, every time I've really heard him talk, I mean, I enjoyed him on our show.
Right.
But every press conference that I've heard, I'm like, yeah, this guy's kind of dopey.
Well, that's fine.
He doesn't give good coach.
It's not give good coach. It's like, what do you do 1 week? You talk about, Central Michigan didn't show me love. You know, 1 week you're hosing down the only good part of your team. The next week you're not on the same page with your head coach. Like, it's always something with him. Always. Always. Listen, he's not the first Hurricanes offensive coordinator that we've all hated worse than the coach.
Question for you. Leroy asked this of you too. How do you think he's done? How would you grade him as an offensive coordinator at this point?
It's hard when you don't have, like, look at all the situations they've been in. It's easy for us. Everybody wants at the end of every game to look at a player or a coach to determine that's why it went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the situations that you were in during the course of a game put you in such bad situations that the situation is what beat you. You know, for example, you give up a 4th-and-17 defensively, and then team goes down to score, right? It's easy to say we can't stop anybody, but I can tell you, like, 4th-and-17 never happens. You just don't pick that up.
You want a fair grade as a coordinator? I think this is a very fair grade to give.
I agree, Quinville.
Quinville.
I agree. No, like, it's just one of these things where you know that he has a terrible offensive line. So there's that.
Right. Like, so look, I don't like giving teams excuses, but these are facts, right? You're asking a quarterback to be better than the last guy or to help his team win while not having any protection. And one of the things I will tell you about from what I understand about these guys at quarterback is if every year there's an opportunity to get their eyes off the field, so that means when they start paying attention to the rush because it's always there and they're not looking down the field, it's easy for us to slow up the tape and say, look, there's a guy running Scott open. He's wide open.
Texter writes in, ACC championship was the goal and we really haven't won a game yet. Yeah, I mean, like, that's
agreed.
That's why tonight is so important.
They have more hype videos than ACC wins.
That's right.
Correct.
More hype videos than real wins.
That's true. Yeah, that's like, true.
Just forget conference. But, yeah, you lose to North Carolina, giving up 4th-and-17. You get down 28-0 to Virginia Tech. I mean, you know, good God. And, you know, understood you went in there with an injured injured starting QB. But what about the defense?
Like that, 42 points.
You know, it's one of these things where – you know, every time it feels like you've needed a clutch stop from what was supposed to be the backbone of your team, they've come up short. And that's been very, very disappointing. And that's why Manny Diaz has apparently taken a bigger role this week. What that'll equate to, I don't know. I mean, maybe they just, you know, maybe that defense will feel like they have their leader back. And it feels maybe Manny's been a little bit absentee because he's had to pay attention to the entire team. But, you know, the one thing that's disappointing is, you know, with him picking Blake Baker, that's supposed to be his guy, his culture that he's passing off. So I would hope that the veterans on the defense were going to respect that and whatever he says. And the feel that he needs to, like, infiltrate back into the room where he got his start is a little bit disappointing. But you know, it's understood. I'm glad he's being proactive. But I can't believe we've kind of gotten here after 5 games.
Well, the good news is that there's still, you know, an opportunity. I don't know. There's certain things about this team. I don't know how you turn it around.
Offensive line. Well,
not even that. I'm not even talking about
culture.
Here. I'm fine with having a poor unit. That happens. You know he did it.
I know, man.
Right.
I didn't say anything. I turned my head.
I'm fine with them.
It's a force that can't be stopped.
I'm fine with them, you know, struggling on a certain side of the ball.
That made it out over the year, by the way, Beast.
But here's the problem. How you play. You have a new coach, okay? One of the things that have plagued the Canes for the last few years, we've been talking about this, is the boneheaded penalties.
Correct.
Right? So you figure a new coach comes in, if he says one thing, we're going to play more disciplined, poised football. Yeah. Right? You just take the boneheaded penalties out of each of these games.
Right.
They're in a better place right there. Well, so it's not even about the things that we're talking about.
Do you have experience playing on undisciplined teams?
Yes.
What changes? Because you played for Belichick and you obviously went into a good culture in Michigan.
Right.
So what changes from a good disciplined team, from a bad disciplined team to a good disciplined team? Because how does he fix it? Is it talent? Is it dopes? Is it them respecting him? What is it?
All the coaches have taken a stand and they've done it from the beginning. Like, look, when I got to Michigan, Bo had one rule. No man is worth causing his team 15 yards. End of discussion. No man. And he would explain the importance of what that 15-yard penalty could do to you both offensively and defensively.
Right, but he wasn't talking about double birds out of your opponent, though, right?
No.
Whatever.
That was worth it.
Wait, 15 yards. End of discussion. That's how it went. So if you got a 15-yard penalty, you knew you had to be dealt with. I mean, it was that severe. That it was like death penalty. That was how
– death penalty.
He ran you. He called you out in the meeting. Like, it was the craziest thing. But we knew that. Bill, like, if you watch his teams play, they don't have that. They don't do that. There's certain organizations and certain coaches you associate with disciplined football. And then we'll go from there.
Yeah, you know what they didn't do though yesterday, Bill's team?
What?
Make it on 4th and 1.
It's true. Well, they went for it on 4th and a lot.
They went for it before.
Mm-mm. 4th and 5 a couple times.
Mm-mm. They had a 4th and 1 they didn't get?
Yeah. Nope, but it was Cookman.
The Giants are the worst defense in the league,
they're
Robbie.
Not Pursuit Cookman. It's not a free win.
I promise you this, that they won by 21 points, and Beast is, doing his thing, right? But when they get into offensive meetings, right, fellas, we got to be better on 4th and 1.
That's annoying.
It's not annoying, man. Annoying. Dude, like here, all the things I'm talking about disciplined football, right? One of the biggest statements you can make as an offensive unit is getting a yard on 4th and 1. And you don't see it that way, but I'm telling you, when everybody in the stadium knows you're going to get a yard and you can just go manhandle the defense and get a yard, like, that sucks a lot of life out of that defense.
It really, I don't know what the percentages are.
It's like 80% 4th and 1.
But it should be, if your team lines up on 4th and 1, like, it should be it should be just about as assumed as a PAT.
Especially against Bethune-Cookman.
Unless the dummies, hold on. Unless dummies try to throw a slant.
Oh.
Yeah.
You ready to go into 4-down territory?
I'm ready.
All right, we got that for you next. Before we get to 4-down territory, I want to let everybody know about the Dribble Drive. Coming up November 16th, it is the Dribble Drive Against Cancer. Entercom South Florida, the Miami Heat, Miami Cancer Institute, continuing our partnership to find a cure for cancer. Zaslow leading the way on the 13.8-mile Dribble Drive, which goes from Miami Cancer Institute in Kendall to the American Airlines Arena. If you guys want a shorter version, there's the Dribble Drive from Vizcaya to the arena. And if you want a shorter version, just a little sprinty sprint, there's the Dribble Drive around the perimeter of the arena. You guys can form teams now and donate by visiting heathelpcure.org. Leroy, are you ready for 4-down territory?
I'm ready, man. This is getting – I'm going to be honest with you.
What, it's getting tough sledding?
It's getting tough sledding because, you have opinions about what's going on, and it's really things that people don't care about. I'm a big picture guy.
Yeah.
But I also can see when you're around a sport long enough, the one thing you notice is how small things tend to end up being your demise later on in a season or in a career.
Such as?
For example, the Canes being undisciplined.
Okay.
And just making... At any point, you hear a coach say this, and this is probably the one of the worst things they could say. You made that play or that situation about you and not about your team. And that's kind of what a 15-yard penalty does. When you feel you got to retaliate, when you feel that you got to one-up the guy by double burdening him in his eyes, you know what I mean? When you do things like that, and you hurt your team because you, the person, the individual, are trying to show up another player. You don't win. And it makes you look crazy. And so I don't necessarily know how to fix that because in all the hype of the preseason and the offseason, this is what the players got out of that we need to make hype videos, be in your face, and all this. So I don't know how you fix that.
I don't know how you fix that either. Because the guy, even the guy I thought wouldn't do that.
Hype video. Right.
Dude who's, you know, sad and depressed on the field. I'm referring to Dita Dallas, who's awesome. He's, you know, probably my favorite Hurricane on the team right now. Even he's doing hype videos. I just think it's a hype video day and age.
I don't know if he did it or I think it,
no, I don't think he's sitting there editing it like Spielberg.
Someone did it for him, but he just put it out there.
Yeah. Toby, we need video of Leroy wrestling a bear, flipping tires, and doing the battle rope. Hey, I did the battle rope. I took Tobin on the battle rope tour.
Oh, he whooped my ass. But I was wearing a suit.
All right, here we go. The Dolphins take on the Redskins this week, and although their records are the same, two franchises are going in two different directions. First down, the tanking continues, but I'm looking to see improvement, which can be tough because, you know, it's hard to say you're getting better, but you're getting thumped every week.
Did you see who's banged up this week? I don't know if this is in your notes or not, but Xavier Howard, limited in practice, knee. He's got himself a tanked knee.
All right.
A tanked knee.
I would say this from the standpoint of the Dolphins. I say this every week. I want them to make football about the talent.
Yep.
Meaning that you're where you're supposed to be. You are you know, running the right formations and the timing and all that stuff is good. And if you get beat because the other side is more talented, then you can deal with that. But when you have a lot of these other issues, now it becomes a cultural thing. And before you do anything to fix the talent, you got to fix the culture. And I don't want, you know, that to be an issue going on at the end of the season. You know, everybody's playing hard. Everybody, for the most part, seems like they're doing the right things, but you still have these boneheaded penalties. You know, and this is with the we just talked about it, with the Hurricanes, too. The Dolphins have situations where they just can't get off the field because of a offsides, of a holding, or something of that nature. So I would like to see those things get better. Second down. Offensively, Josh Rosen needs to prove in the next 11 or 12 weeks that he could be the guy. He needs to show the Dolphins and his teammates that this is what he wants to do and that he's committed to football. We all know that he has talent. And he's shown that, you know, in spurts. He's shown that, you know, he can move the team down the field. He can make big throws. He can put the team in the right formations and stuff like that. But as an organization or as a teammate, you know, the thing out on him is maybe he's not that interested. He comes from money and what have you.
There's two things I would say for Josh Rosen. Don't mope and don't be a dope.
Right. But so he can change that because guess what? He's the guy. And if all he ever wanted to be was the guy, he has an opportunity to now take the reins and show everybody, look, I'm in this.
He's officially been told Fitzpatrick ain't taking your job.
Right. I'm in this. I'm in this. I want to win. I want to be the quarterback. And with that talent, if everybody gets that feeling, you know what? We got a guy that we can rely on. And I think it's up to him to show that. And it's going to be hard because he's going to be put in a lot of difficult situations. It's happening. It's going to happen. But if he can change that, that'll put this team far ahead of the curve because going into next year, you know, when you draft a quarterback, you won't have to rush a guy who may not be ready in the play.
Third down.
All right. Defensively, look.
Taco.
These guys are bums on offense. Washington is bad.
Yeah.
Like, really bad. They played a bunch of quarterbacks. Everybody throwing picks. Hey, fans, the 1,700 of you that go to the game, wear your sticky gloves. You might catch you one.
Damn.
Everybody. Okay? So here's what's going to happen. They got a new head coach. They fired Jay Gruden. They got Callahan, who has been a head coach before. He's an offensive line coach. What do you think offensive linemen like to do? Run the football. So be prepared to stop the run. Everybody's so worried about stats, about sacks. Stop the run. Don't get gashed. If you get gashed against Washington, you have no chance of winning because that's all they're going to do. They're going to try to take some pressure off that quarterback. You stop the run, you get after him, you're going to be able to make some plays in the passing game. So they got a good chance because Washington's bad. And they're not trying to be bad, and they're bad.
If they lose this week, though, and something bad, if they do get gashed on defense,
I'll be disappointed. I'll be disappointed when you know going into the game, when you have struggles at quarterback, the one thing that the other team is going to try to do is take it out of the quarterback's hands by either throwing it or by running it, running quick passes, running, you know, those little bubble screens, stuff like that, to try to put the quarterback in a good place.
With old ass Adrian Peterson.
Right. Again, not, I mean, like, it's all there. Like, you're supposed to win this game by default. Fourth down. All right. Between the fourth Dolphins and yes, right. Between the Dolphins and Hurricanes, football has been bad, but for different reasons. The Dolphins are trying to lose, and the Hurricanes are trying to win. Both teams have made some boneheaded mistakes, and they made some untimely penalties, and neither team can protect their quarterback. And you got two quarterbacks are running for their life, making it difficult even to evaluate that situation. The main reason between the two teams is that the Dolphins have never given you the idea that they were going to be good. Mm-hmm. We always knew that, so how we approach every game, you know, game with the Dolphins is a little bit different. The Canes, on the other hand, with the hype videos and the bravado that they started the season with, has made this season even more disappointing. That being said, they have a chance to get back on track against the ranked opponent in Virginia at home in prime time.
Garbage uniforms,
that's right. And so, you know, it's time to just focus on football. Just focus on football. The Canes, just go out there, play one solid football game without, right, the boneheaded penalties, the it's all about me plays. Go out there and play good, solid team football. I do believe they do have a chance to win, even though I don't believe that they should be favored.
Do you want to hear something surprising?
Sure. Yeah.
So, you mentioned the untimely penalties.
Right.
But, I wrote a texter texted in, did you know that Miami was the least penalized? I actually went and checked this. That the Miami Dolphins,
mm-hmm.
the fewest penalties in the league.
I did know that.
That's surprising.
But go back to the penalties, and how many penalties have given the other team a first down.
But, if you were to go to college football stats.
Right.
And you were to look at the team with the most penalties.
Right.
The Miami Hurricanes.
Oh,
11.2 a game.
Right.
Whoa.
But again, and here, I ask you this. If you saw a presser without knowing who it was with Flores, and you saw a presser with Manny, who would you guess had the least and the most? Right? It's playing out. Exactly like you think.
Hey, Robbie, you want to know who has the fourth least penalties in Division I?
Sure.
FIU.
What? Hey. Pause up. Hey. He's back on the short list. Butch Davis back on the short list.
Ready?
3.5 a game.
Not
ready?
Happening.
And I have a dilemma here. I'm going to ask you a question. This could go to Beast.
Yes.
Back in your heyday.
Yes.
When you needed, things weren't going well.
My heyday or the school's?
Your heyday.
Okay.
When you were looking across the table and you said, I need a slump buster. Things aren't going
no,
well.
No, I am the slump. I was the slump buster.
Which brings me to my question.
Okay.
Somebody text in. Leroy, do you think that the sports radio in D.C. is saying the exact same thing we're saying about each other team, the other team? Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I also believe that they're both looking across the table and saying, ooh, we can get our season right now. Right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially Callen is like reportedly laying down the law.
What do you think Virginia is thinking? Holy smokes. You
same market.
Huh?
Same market, basically.
I know, but what do you think? But do you think they're thinking, wait a minute, our own only losses to Notre Dame, a top 10 team.
Yep. And they're underdogs.
Right.
And they had a bye week.
Right. Yep. Man, what do you think?
That was powerful.
Hey, by the way, how we feeling about Nikosi?
I feel good. My guy goes out there and he slings it.
Don't.
He's my guy.
He could go either way.
I'm allowed to see.
If you've been around coaching long enough, what scares coaches more than anything? That phrase right there. They want to know. Right? They want to know. They can't put you on the field unless they have an idea of how you're going to play. And you're like, nah, it could go either way. You're going to have a hard time getting on the football field.
We have Robbie's Magnificent Seven coming up in about 25 minutes. He'll give you your best winners of the week and your chance to win $1,000 coming up in about an hour's time. We'll be back with more after this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.